This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, October 21st, 2016. I'm Marc Boulanger. In the report this week, a major study finds widespread child labour and poverty-level wages on coffee plantations. A report in the UK shows the growing wage gap as women grow older. Unions fight for an ILO convention on violence against women and men. And the Labour Start report about union events around the world. This is Radio Labour. A major study of labor conditions in coffee plantations has found continued widespread use of child labor, with children as young as 5 years old forced to work. The study, entitled Brewing Up, was conducted by the respected NGO Finnwatch, based in Helsinki. It looked at conditions in Honduras, India, and Brazil. I talked to Finnwatch researcher Anu Kultilati about the report. I asked her first about conditions in Honduras.
Well, I think the key finding in Honduras was that on all five farms that we investigated there, we found child labor. And the key reason behind the prevalence of child labor in our assessment is the very low levels of wage that the workers there are paid.
And what problems did you find in the coffee plantations in India?
Well, I think in India, the main finding was the really exceptionally high recruitment fees that the seasonal migrant workers reported that they have to pay for their labor contractor. So according to the seasonal migrant workers that we interviewed for our report, they have to pay up to one-third of their salary for the entire time that they work on this plantation to their labor broker.
Could you explain that a bit more? They have to pay money to work on the plantations?
So it's a kind of a recruitment fee, or as they call it, a commission. So the workers are employed or contracted by a broker at their home state in India, and then they are transported to work at this plantation in another state in India. And the contractor that they use is actually paid a fee also by the Tata Coffee, who owns the plantations where these workers will work. But the workers, they also said that they've taken a loan from the contractor to pay for the travel cost to the state where the plantation is located. And this loan they also have to pay back to the contractor. But in addition to paying back the loan, they also have to pay a commission, as they said, to the broker of their salary. And the commission that the broker charges is, according to the workers, up to one-third of their earnings.
Women in the United Kingdom are being told, you're not only getting older, you're earning even less than men as you age. Radio Labour's senior correspondent Seemarie Ainsborough has a report.
The Trades Union Congress in the United Kingdom has produced a report showing that women earn less money than men in every stage of their careers. But the gap gets even larger when they're in their 50s. The gender pay gap starts as soon as women start their careers and increases steadily as they grow older. The gap more than doubles when women enter their 40s. During their 50s, women earn about £85,000, or about $105,000, less than men. The TUC argues that a major reason for the gap is the different impact of parenthood on the earnings of men and women. At age 42, the difference between mothers and fathers is 42%. The difference for men and women who have not had children is 12%. Frances O'Grady, the General Secretary of the TUC, told the media, having children has starkly different effects on men's and women's pay, with women earning less after having kids and men earning more. Far more needs to be done, she said, to help mothers get back into decent, well-paid jobs after having children and encourage fathers to take on their share of caring responsibilities. This is Seemarie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labour.
Labor unions around the world are working towards the adoption of an ILO Convention on Violence Towards Women and Men in the World of Work. The ILO is the UN's international labor organization. It sets minimum standards on workplace issues in recommended laws called conventions. If a country adopts the convention, it becomes part of the nation's legal infrastructure. One of the labor organizations at the forefront of the global lobbying for a convention on violence towards women and men is the International Transport Workers Federation. The ITF represents more than 4.5 million workers in 700 unions operating in some 150 countries. As part of its global campaign for an ILO convention, the ITF held a meeting of its Global Women's Committee in Panama. I talked to Jody Evans about the meeting and the ITF's campaign. Ms. Evans is the ITF's Women's Transport Workers Coordinator. We apologize for some of the Skype-related noise. I asked Ms. Evans first why an ILO convention on violence towards women and men is necessary.
Mark, I know that on the face of it, this can seem like a pretty complicated issue or process and removed from the lives of ordinary workers. But I promise you, it's pretty simple, and all trade unions and our members can play a valuable part in making a real difference. We need a convention and recommendation on violence against women and men in the world of work to plug the gap that currently exists in international law. Violence, and in particular gender-based violence, is a global pandemic, and it shapes the lives of countless women transport workers, where violence, and in particular sexual violence, is often used in a very deliberate institutional way to control women's access to work and to better working conditions. You know, there is a common systematic approach to using women transport workers' family responsibilities, their economic vulnerability, or their precarious employment status as a means to exercise sexual coercion. This is perpetrated by their colleagues, their managers, vehicle owners, local authorities, the police. So a convention and recommendation will provide an opportunity for trade unions to strengthen their campaigns and lobby for new or improved national legislation, to implement existing legislation, collective bargaining clauses, and employer policy to improve access to justice for survivors, to hold perpetrators to account, and to develop and implement prevention strategies.
Now, here with his report about union events around the world is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the more than 2,300 stories our volunteers collected in the last week. Our top story section included links to news about the Iranian labor activist sentenced to 22 years in jail, the global campaign to free 70 journalists held in Turkish prisons, and the spontaneous response by Taiwanese flight attendants when they learned that their employer wasn't honoring their collective agreement. They pelted the company headquarters with eggs. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Winery workers in South Africa, on strike since August, continued their wage strike while tobacco workers burned tires on the barricades. Kenyan aviation workers were protesting outsourcing. Striking teachers in Nigeria were being threatened with sacking. Taxi drivers across Tunisia were parked in an effort to gain a living wage. Argentinian university workers were off the job in a protest over budget cuts. Truckers in Bangladesh won their wage and safety strike and returned to work last week. American bourbon distillery workers were out in a wage dispute, while Harvard University service workers were striking for a living wage in the United States. Uber drivers in India parked their cars to protest the recruitment of more and more drivers and the resulting decline in their income. British postal workers walked off the job to protest abuse in the workplace. The Korean rail strike set a new record of almost 30 days this week. And Moroccan flight attendants escalated their wage dispute. Our top working women's stories included coverage of the tributes to New Zealand union leader Helen Kelly, who died last week, and the struggle by women nurses in India to erode the gender wage gap. The Health and Safety Newswire we run in cooperation with Hazards magazine carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the Pakistani quarry workers who are demanding basic safety equipment, and a campaign by American municipal workers to end workplace bullying. Currently, Labor Start is running 5 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.